Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The National Basketball Association playoffs tip off Wednesday show, and we'll have more hoops analysis from Wamoyo Hoops Hamza, the Voice of America's Swahili Service Chief. But first, a quick look at Tuesday night's playoff action. The defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors cruised to a 22-point victory over the visiting Portland Trail Blazers in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Oakland, California.
The Warriors won their 12th straight Game 1 of a playoff series as they beat the Blazers 116-94. Despite the absence of Kevin Durant, Golden State didn't skip a beat as Stephen Curry poured in a game-high 36 points, making 9 of the team's 17 three-pointers. Even with a seemingly easy victory, Curry says Portland will be much more prepared in Game 2.
We understand what the drill is and they're going to make adjustments and probably play really aggressive and assertive in the first half. Game 2, we got to be ready for that punch and keep playing hard.
Although he made only 10 of 24 shots, Klay Thompson added 26 points. Portland committed 21 turnovers, resulting in 31 points. Damian Lillard with 19 points.
We had too many moments where, you know, we had slip-ups defensively, 20 turnovers that led to over 30 points, and you can't allow that. If you allow that against this team, especially on the road, you're going to have a slim chance to win. So I think it was more about that than the series that we played previously.
While Rodney Hood, CJ McCollum, and Maurice Harkless each added 17. Maurice Harkless.
They're going to get the attention because they're the high seed. They are the defending champions. So that's not something that we didn't expect. You know, we just, we get our confidence from each other, so we just got to carry that on the floor and know that we can beat the team and it will be fine.
Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Ryan Leong mentioned the absence of Golden State star Kevin Durant. Durant has a calf injury, and he's also expected to miss Game 2 of the series on Thursday night in Oakland. Joining us once again is Wamoyo Hoops Hamza, the Voice of America's Swahili Service Chief. Sporty greetings, Wamoyo.
Sporty greetings, son.
Right now, the Warriors, Wamoyo, winning without Kevin Durant. Maybe they don't need KD.
They don't need KD for the moment because they went right back to where they were before they got KD. So I think they can survive without KD for a few more games.
What do you see as the keys to this series against the Portland Trail Blazers?
Well, the keys for this series is that for Portland Trail Blazers to be competitive in this series, they have to play a perfect game. And from what we saw last night, they are nowhere near that. They turned the ball 21 times, as Damian Lillard said, compared to 14 by Golden State Warriors. You cannot beat a high-powered team like Golden State Warriors if you turn the ball over. Their top shooters, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, scored 20 points, under 20 points each, 19 and 17, for a total of 36 points, while Golden State Warriors' top shooters, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, combined for 62 points. Golden State Warriors made 17 three-pointers on 33 attempts. Portland made 7. 10 less on 28 points. No way you're going to outcompete Golden State Warriors with such a performance, period.
Steph Curry, 2-time league most valuable player, one of the biggest stars in the NBA, and maybe a little sibling rivalry in this series, Wamoyo. Tell our VOA listeners about that.
First time in NBA history for brothers to meet in the NBA conference finals. Steph Curry and younger brother Seth Curry, who plays for our Portland Trail Blazers. Young brother is not faring too well after the first game because he played a total of 19 minutes and scored 3 points. And I think at one point he was guarding Big Brother. Big Brother, on the other hand, Steph played for 35 minutes and led his team with 36 points. Their parents now, they are in this big dilemma. Who do you root for? So they came up with a system. The father, Del Curry, who played in the NBA for 16 years, he wore a Golden State Warriors jersey, and mom supported younger brother with a Portland jersey.
Okay.
So they're kind of balancing it.
That's a way to balance it. I like that. Now, Momoyo, the Blazers coming off a tough seven-game series victory over the Denver Nuggets. Do you think they can win a couple games against the Warriors?
I think they can, but they have to play a perfect game. But see, they have shooters, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. These guys, they are high-end shooters. They can shoot the ball very well, and they can make a big impact on the game. But they have to make those shots, and they must make sure that they don't turn the ball over. The problem is, at some point during the game, they get called, whereas Golden State Warriors, they never get called. If Steph Curry gets called, Klay Thompson is shooting. If Klay Thompson is cold, Steph Curry is lighting up. So, you know, they have to be on top of the game and play a perfect game to be competitive in this series.
As I mentioned, game two in this series will be Thursday night in Oakland, California, between Golden State and Portland. The Eastern Conference Finals will tip off later Wednesday night in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where the Milwaukee Bucks will host the Toronto Raptors in game one of another best of seven series. How do you see this one, Momoyo?
Okay, Sonny, first of all, let's talk about Kawhi Leonard's historic buzzer beater on Sunday against Philadelphia 76ers.
Incredible shot.
It was an incredible shot.
Incredible shot.
It was the first buzzer beater in a game seven history. So he took the shot from the corner, over 7 foot, Joel Embiid. And this ball bounced four times on the rim. Those were four suspenseful bounces for Toronto and four agonizing bounces for Philadelphia.
Agonizing bounces. I loved watching the replay. All the fans were just sort of mesmerized.
They're looking at this ball bouncing around four times, and then it gets in.
And I think Kawhi said afterwards, Memorial, that it was the shooter's touch that did it. A little luck, maybe, too, though.
There was a little luck with it, you know. But now, coming back to the game tonight, now, one thing you have to remember, for the first time in the Eastern Conference Finals, there is no LeBron James in 9 years, because LeBron James has been the king in this, you know. So who steps up? Now it's Kawhi Leonard and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Two big stars.
They are all, you know, they played very well in the regular season. Kawhi Leonard has been here before, because he won the championship with San Antonio Spurs in 2014. Mm. And he was actually MVP for the finals in 2014. So he has more experience than Antetokounmpo. But Antetokounmpo has really, you know, stepped up this season and showed that he can lead the team and he can play big minutes and put up big numbers. So this is going to be these two guys who can push his team over the other.
In terms of stepping up, Memorial, let me give a shout-out, a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Pascal Siakam of Toronto. He's from Cameroon. He stepped up for the Raptors this season.
He stepped up, and talking about him, you have three players of African origins in this matchup, Antetokounmpo, Pascal Siakam, and Serge Ibaka.
Who also has played well.
Well, played very well for Toronto. And he's likely to be covering Antetokounmpo at some point.
Any predictions ahead of Bucks-Raptors, or how do you see the series in terms of length?
I think it's going to Game 7. Mm. I think it is going to Game 7. This is a very, very, very competitive series. Both teams, they play well, especially at home. I think this is going to go 7 games, and at the end of the day, Bucks will win it.
The NBA draft lottery was held on Tuesday night in Chicago, Illinois. It determines the sequence of draft picks for next month's NBA draft. And I think the happiest team at the end of the night in Chicago, the New Orleans Pelicans.
New Orleans Pelicans.
Talk about that, Memorial.
It's the happiest team because it was a surprise for them. They had only a 6% chance of winning the first pick. New York Knicks, everybody thought New York Knicks had more balls in those containers. So everybody thought they were going to get the first pick. But Pelicans got the first pick, and now chances are they will pick Zion Williamson out of Duke, big player, 6'7". And so the question is, will Pelicans let Anthony Davis go or keep him? Because if they keep him, then they have two big guys, Anthony Davis at 6'10", Zion Williamson at 6'7". That's a potent kind of combination that will change the dynamics in the Western Conference next season.
Now, Anthony Davis made some public trade demands through his agent last season, Momoyo. Do you think he'll reconsider now that it looks like Zion is coming onto the team?
That was before he knew Zion was coming to the team. But now that Zion is coming to the team, I wouldn't be surprised if Anthony Davis changes his mind. Because all he was demanding was to go to a team where he has a good chance of winning the championship. And with Zion Williamson on that team, you know, that chance is there, right where he is.
You mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo. His nickname is the Greek Freak, freakish athletic talent on the basketball court. What about Zion Williamson? How would you describe his talent?
He's going to be another, you know, a big player who will make a big impact on the court, because he's fast and he runs very well. He can shoot. He passes well. So he comes in with this, you know, pizzazz of being a high-caliber kind of player. We have to see. He has to stay healthy, of course. He has to, train very hard to be able to play 82 games. Coming out of college ball, this is a different animal. So if he has the discipline, he has big potential of being an impact player in the NBA next season.
Thanks, Momoyo. That's Momoyo Hoops Hamza, the voice of America's Swahili service chief. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, some of the star players in the NBA playoffs will also represent their national teams in the 2019 FIBA Basketball World Cup, which begins August 31st in China. The two-time defending champion, United States, is one of the big favorites for the gold medal. The Americans will be aiming for their sixth world title in China. They're grouped with Turkey, the Czech Republic, and Japan for the first round. The Tigers of Nigeria, meanwhile, are grouped with Russia, Argentina, and South Korea for the first round. To find out more about the preparations by the Tigers, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with a board member of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, Oni Afolabi.
I think right about now, the coaches, you know, the last time we spoke, I told you that the coaches and then the team manager and also federation members will be going all over the world to look for Nigerians who have played for us before or who are interested to play for Nigeria and are playing top flight basketball all over the world with special emphasis on Europe and America. So now some names have been penciled down, which will be ratified by the board and also the coaches after he must have submitted the names. But before then, on the part of the Nigerian Basketball Federation, we have arranged some friendlies, some graded friendlies against Canada and the Dominican Republic, which will take place in Quebec and Ontario. And then when we go for the final phase of the training in China, we will also be playing Montenegro and Poland. All these four countries I've mentioned, we also be playing at the World Cup. So this will be the best set of games and practice that any team in the world can always, or we always hope for.
Aside the Grade A friendly matches arranged for the Tigers, when do you intend opening camp for the team to commence preparation for the FIBA World Cup?
The camp is going to start in July, which will give us a two-month window to prepare the boys and then to add and subtract from the talents we have. And then the training will be in four phases. The first one we hold in Canada, the second one we hold in Dominican Republic, the third one we hold in Lagos, Nigeria, where plans are also being put in place to organize another set of friendlies with another World Cup bound team, you know, to come to Lagos and then play the D-Tigers. And this will also give the home fans the opportunity of seeing their players don the national team jersey and then before getting out to China for the final phase where we have to play Poland and Montenegro.
Is the coaching crew in touch with the players, especially those who are applying their trade in the United States of America and Europe?
Most definitely. The coach in the person of Alex Nwora is based in the U.S. So we get reports from him probably fortnightly, and then we see his activities going around the U.S., watching prospective Nigerians and also watching their games to critically analyze what they can add to the national team going to the World Cup.
A Nigerian basketball referee, Kingsley Ojaburu, has been nominated to officiate in the FIBA World Cup in China and the Under-19 World Cup scheduled for Greece. What's the reaction of the Nigerian Basketball Federation to this nomination?
We are so excited about this. It shows that when given the right opportunity, Nigerians can also hold their heads high all over the world in any chosen field, and this time around, basketball officiating. This is not his first time. He's been at different AfroBasket in Africa. He's been to the Commonwealth Games. He's been to the World Cup in 2015, in Spain, and then getting nominated for another global event in China and Greece has shown his consistency and also shown the quality of referees that we have in this part of the world, and also the effort of the Nigerian Basketball Federation to organize, train and retrain our referees to be at par with their colleagues all over the world.
That's Oni Afolabi, a member of the Nigeria Basketball Federation and its media manager. And Oni spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The year's second major professional golf tournament, the PGA Championship, will tee off Thursday on Long Island in New York. And American star Tiger Woods is one of the favorites after his stunning comeback victory at the Masters last month. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. When Tiger won his 15th major, he single-handedly ended a decade-long championship drought, resurrected his career, and achieved one of the greatest comebacks in sports history. But he's kept a low profile since that Masters victory. Fans who had hoped Tiger would make a swift return to the golf green may have been disappointed when he decided to skip the Wells Fargo Championship earlier this month. But on Tuesday, Tiger appeared at a pre-tournament news conference and told reporters it was all in preparation for the PGA Championship. Tiger said he's rested and ready for golf's second major event of the year, but that wasn't the case 2 weeks ago.
I wanted to play at Quail Hollow, but to be honest with you, I wasn't ready yet to start the grind of practicing and preparing and logging all those hours again. I was lifting. My numbers were good. I was feeling good in the gym, but I wasn't mentally prepared to log in the hours. Coming here is a different story. I was able to log in the hours, put in the time, and feel rested and ready. And that's going to be the interesting part going forward. How much do I play and how much do I rest? I think I've done a lot of the legwork and the hard work already, trying to find my game over the past year and a half. Now I think it's just maintaining it. I know that I feel better when I'm fresh, that the body just doesn't respond like it used to, doesn't bounce back quite as well. So I got to be aware of that.
The last time Tiger won the PGA Championship was in 2007, and he's on the hunt to lift the Wanamaker Trophy for a fifth time. But he'll need to fend off some tough competitors, like Irishman Rory McIlroy. The four-time major champion is aiming for his third PGA Championship title, having won it in 2012 and 2014. And on Tuesday, McIlroy said his chances are good.
I don't think anything about the odds. I think I have a good chance. I've had a pretty good record at the PGA. A couple of wins and a couple other decent finishes. So, we're playing at a golf course that I like, that I've had some experience on. So, I know if I play the way I can, hopefully I'll have a chance.
McIlroy also said he will most likely participate in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics and represent Ireland.
When you put the Olympics into the equation and then there's a choice to be made, you really have to start thinking, okay, well, what are your beliefs and your values? And it makes you sort of have to delve a little bit deeper. It's not just a superficial decision. It's something that you have to really believe in, and I've thought about that for a long time. And in the end, it was the fact that when I was a little boy and I got that first call up to the national squad to go down to City West and be a part of the youth system or the boys or the whatever, and making that team and playing in home internationals, and I was so proud to do that. So why would it be any different just because it's a different golf tournament, because it's a different arena or a different environment?
Golf returned to the Olympic Games in 2016 after a more than century-long absence. However, McIlroy did not appear in Rio, in part for his uneasiness about being forced to represent a particular country and also concerns surrounding the outbreak of the Zika virus that year. In fact, many of golf's big names were not present at the 2016 Olympics. However, things seem to be shaping up very nicely for the sport in 2020. Tiger Woods even said if he's eligible to play, he's ready to take a trip to Tokyo.
Would I like to play in the Olympics? Yes. I've never played in the Olympics, and I'm sure that I won't have many more opportunities going forward at 43 years old now to play in mini Olympics. So, yes, that would be a first for me and something that I would certainly welcome if I was part of the team. Getting there and making the team is going to be the tough part. How many events, you just asked, how many events do I play? Do I add in a couple more to get in? These are all questions that will be answered going forward. I just know that if I play well in the big events like I did this year, things will take care of itself.
Tiger Woods eyeing the Tokyo Olympics and a 16th major title. Groupings for the PGA Championship have been announced. Tiger is grouped with two other previous major winners, Italy's Francesco Molinari, who won the title in 2017, and the American defending champion, Brooks Koepka. The PGA Championship tees off on Thursday and runs through Sunday. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If our listeners check out my Facebook page on this Wednesday, they'll see a photo by my award-winning producer this evening, Bill Werkinger. Bill took an in-studio shot of me interviewing Luol Deng, the Sudan-born basketball player and two-time NBA All-Star. The 34-year-old Deng played last season for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Lou has had a very solid 15-year NBA career. I checked out some of his statistics before the show, and Deng has averaged almost 15 points a game as well as 6 rebounds a game during his pro career. And that wraps up the May 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, as Malawi gears up for elections on May 21st, candidates and voters say flooding from Cyclone Idai is negatively impacting the vote. Uncertainty at the polls on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists have recently been able to gain some insight into the creation of Neptune's tiniest moon, Hipparchus, thanks to observations made with the NASA ESA Hubble Space Telescope. Hipparchus, which has a diameter of only 34 kilometers, was discovered in 2013 after scientists analyzed Hubble-captured images of Neptune. The scientists theorize that Hipparchus is actually a fragment of a close neighboring moon, Proteus, after a comet impacted it billions of years ago. Photos taken in 1989 by NASA's Voyager 2 spacecraft show a huge impact crater on Proteus that scientists say is large enough that could have caused the moon to shatter. The tiny moon orbits Neptune at a distance of about 105,000 kilometers and is within only 12,000 kilometers of Proteus. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.